Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
Curtis, how are you holding it down there at the studio?
I'm good. Okay. A little lonely over here, but that's kind of the norm now.
Mm-hmm. My man, I think you're going to be there by yourself for a while. I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. You know, it's interesting. You watch the news. Man, let me say something too. These networks, geez, they got to relax a little. I mean, it's crazy. Every network, how different they are, how aggressive they are, how doom and gloom they are, how overly optimistic they are. Every one of them is completely different. You have that on in the background. That could be a dangerous tool there. I won't say which network I have on right now, but damn, have they not said anything positive in a long time. Okay, so I got some positive news. All right, I got some positive news here. So Jess mentioned to me a little bit earlier that the Angels are paying their employees. So I just went on a rant here talking about how I'd love to see fans get their money back. Imagine if I was just saying this off air. Imagine if you have $2,000 into one of these local baseball teams, and now you know there's not going to be games, but you can't get that $2,000 back, and that's the money you need for rent or you need for groceries or something along those lines. I don't think what I'm saying is a stretch. I think there's literally a lot of people on a local basis that are in a similar position like this, in a situation like this. So some of the positive news coming out today. So the Los Angeles Angels are committing $1.2 million to cover for more than 1,800 people who work at their stadium. The money issued through a one-time grant will provide financial assistance to a wide range of employees, including third-party vendors, and will be distributed on a sliding scale based on factors like job title, pay rate, and hours worked. Okay, that's great. That's what you want to hear. That came out, by the way, earlier today. And then the Dodgers, about an hour ago, I'm going to read this tweet from Ken Gernick, who is a Dodgers beat writer for MLB.com. The Los Angeles Dodgers have finalized a distribution program to assist baseball's greatest event staff, the people who make the Dodger Stadium fan experience the best in baseball. The Dodgers will be notifying Dodgers event staff, concessions, parking, cleaning personnel employed by third-party contractors, and the LA Dodgers Foundation event staff of the distribution plans for the fund totaling over $1.3 million. So that's big time right there. And I know that's, you know, this is what you want to see at a time like this. It's very, very important that you see these teams stepping up. I saw a press release a little bit earlier today from the Lakers. Local sports franchises coming together to create teams for LA to benefit the Mayor's Fund for Los Angeles. So online donation platforms allows the acquisition of sports and music-related merchandise created by AG with Clippers, Galaxy, Kings, Lakers, Sparks, and Rank Plus Rally launches today with all proceeds to help those impacted by COVID-19 in LA. So look, those are some of the good things that are going on, and it's very easy not to point them out, or if I'm critical on a certain segment of what's going on, I should also point out that there's some good being done by a lot of people on a local basis. I don't know if you guys got a chance to see Derek Jeter foregoing his $5 million salary. So, that's big time news as well. Jeter, who is owner of the Miami Marlins, also their employees are being paid through May. So some good things happening with all the stuff that we're talking about. We'll highlight some of the good stuff as well. If you guys got a chance to, Arash Markazi had a article on Clayton Kershaw, and I want to read off a couple specific quotes on this, so we'll kind of stay on this baseball theme. So Kershaw, his name has definitely been mentioned because when the ideas of baseball came out about doing more of a quarantine and doing more of a bubble for Major League Baseball, none of this stuff. We'll kind of see what ends up developing, but a lot of that conversation was based off of just assuming that players would be great for this. players would love to be in this position. Kershaw was one to kind of voice his opinion against it. So I want to read off what Kershaw said to the LA Times and Arash Markazi, because I think it adds a little bit more context and you want to see where he's coming from. Because who knows, in a couple months, would you be surprised or shocked that baseball is setting up to have some kind of season, a partial season? Maybe it's in Arizona, maybe it's not. I wouldn't be shocked if that's the case. And if it is, well, how many players have a view like Kershaw? So here's Kershaw. We all want to play baseball. I get that. I want to play baseball too. But there's something about being in the big leagues, and you can't compromise that. Playing in spring training stadiums and quarantining for months without your family and certain things like that, I don't think that's doable if you're talking about doing it for 4 to 5 months. So it sounds like with Kershaw, it's the amount of time that they'd have to do it. Baseball, okay, so baseball typically March is spring training, and you play through September. If you're fortunate enough, you're one of the few teams that hopefully play through October. Dodgers and certainly Kershaw's experienced that for many years here in Los Angeles. Kershaw is self-admitted baseball traditionalist, but he understands this season is going to be unlike any season we've encountered before. He's fine playing without fans, shortening games to 7 innings, and playing doubleheaders. But he's drawing the line at being away from Ellen and their children, daughter Callie, who's 5 years old, and sons Charlie, 3, and Cooper, 3 months. Like, what do you want me to say about Kershaw? Like, you know, like, how can you be mad at Kershaw if this doesn't work for him because of his fam? The question's going to come down to this. The question's going to be, are there a lot of players that feel this way? Mike Trout has already kind of expressed something similar. Mike Trout's going to have his son, his first son, by the way, his first kid, in August is when his wife is due. I don't think Kershaw is going to be the only one that's in this predicament. So one of the challenges, and I've said this before, and I'll continue to say it, one of the challenges for all these leagues, it's not just going to be if you get a chance to play the games. It's not just going to be these scenarios that play out where, okay, we're playing in a quarantine or we're playing in some type of bubble. It's also whether the players want to do this or not. And when I read this from Kershaw, and he kind of goes into more details, and I don't care what anybody's view is on Kershaw. Obviously, one of the great pitchers for the Dodgers, incredible, incredible amount of success. Yes, has he not performed in the postseason? 100% he hasn't performed. Was he also potentially duped in the Houston Astros in 2017 that didn't help the last couple of years? Potentially could have been the case as well. But the Dodgers without Kershaw, as stacked as this team is, you don't want to see a scenario play out like that. You also don't want to see any scenario where any of these main players aren't part of a run in baseball. So the challenges are going to continue to stack up. You're going to have the health part of it, then you're going to have the players part of it. And if both of those don't align, if you get through all the challenges from a health perspective, then you got to deal with it from a player perspective. And what do you want me to say? Like, I cannot argue with Kershaw on this one. If the guy wants to be with his fam, I don't think anybody's going to sit back and say, oh, well, you're not loyal to the Dodgers or you don't have your priorities right. I don't think anybody's going to say that. Okay, so I got a Starbucks story that I want to share. I have a very, very, let's just say my routine is very similar every morning. Okay, I go to Starbucks every morning. You can only go drive through. I got a scenario that I want to play out, and I'll Jess Curtis, I might need your guys' help in this one. So let's do that when we come back. Stay right here, Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. Okay, so yesterday, Curtis and Jess, so this is what happened yesterday. So doing Mason in Ireland, and obviously 420. Jess, I don't know what you're talking about. Curtis, I'm not even going to ask you. So,
all right.
They go through stoner movies, right? Stoner movies, and your greatest
far out, man.
Greatest stoner movies. So this is the list that I gave. I said, all right, I got a couple that stand out to me. Half Baked. How great is Dave Chappelle in Half Baked? Right. The Big Lebowski. Oh. How fantastic is The Big Lebowski? White Castle is a good one. Dude, Where's My Car? You know, there's a number of, you know, good
Pineapple
movies.
Pineapple Express.
Pineapple Express. By the way, that was one that I think Funches had mentioned. Okay. So.
Oh yeah, I love Pineapple Express.
So this is my question to you guys. The comedians in those movies are, look, they're as good as it gets. So list out, give me a comedian, give me your favorite comedian, and then we'll just kind of go around robin. You give one, I give one. Jess, start with you. Give me a comedian that, you know, is your go-to when you're looking for something, or anytime that he comes on, does stand up, or whatever the case is as good as it gets. Who is it that stands out to you?
So the go-to to me is probably Gabriel Fluffy Iglesias. Mm-hmm. The second I saw him, oh my God. I'm a big guy too, so I definitely resonated with the Fluffy part. I always thought I was on the Husky side, but I definitely resonated with the Fluffy part. And every special of these seasons I watch it, I have a couple of them, and I die every time I see it. And I love the last one, that the real big one he did, where to end his set, he recited like one of his old jokes, and he had the crowd speak it back to him. Like it was a concert, like a music concert. It was amazing.
Okay, so here's a question I got. Where is he from, by the way? Is he from Southern California?
I believe he is from Bakersfield.
And if I'm not mistaken. And he's Mexican, right? He's Mexican?
Yeah, he is Mexican-American.
Okay,
he's not a Carlos Mencia situation.
So is
part of San Diego.
This is a perfect question, because is part of the comedy that you get from him because you can just really relate to, like, does he talk about a lot of jokes inside the family that maybe someone like you two, who are both Mexican, you guys would understand that I wouldn't? Like, does that play into it as well or no?
I mean, that plays somewhat into it, but it's not as much as like George Lopez. Like, he's the one who kind of started it. And that's when you hear George Lopez's comedy, you definitely feel that raza, that, growing up, Latino's like, oh, I know exactly what he's talking about. But, Gabriel Iglesias has more of the, more relatable comedy that's outside of that. He's more relatable, to everyone.
So I say that, the only reason why I say that is because, like, I'll sometimes get something. A cousin will send me something, and it's something that only someone who's Middle Eastern will understand. You know what I mean? Like, there's certain comedy and there's certain jokes that are because, oh man, that's exactly how my parents were when they were growing up, or whatever the case is. Okay, so you got Gabriel Iglesias as one. Curtis, give me one.
I've got a few, but I think the ones that I'm kind of listing are more like, because they show that they're multi-talented. Like, one of my favorites is Donald Glover. Before he did, his show, also does music, but he's also really funny. And this is like, I think his last stand-up was long, long time ago, but I still randomly come across it on Netflix. And the people that can do that kind of stuff, the multi-talented, I think, is the more impressive part for me.
Have you guys ever seen the original Kings of Comedy?
Oh, yeah.
You guys watch that? Kings of Comedy. Okay. Is that the one with Bernie Mac and...
Bernie Mac, Steve Harvey, D.L. Hughley, and Cedric the Entertainer, okay? Bernie Mac, man, I don't know what it was about Bernie Mac. That dude just killed me. He used to tell jokes. I think he was talking about his kids. Like, when his kids would do stuff that when they're not listening, and the way he would treat them, he's like, I'm not even going to try, make up any of the jokes. but his jokes in the original Kings of Comedy... Bernie Mac is just classic to me. Jess, give me another one.
You must have loved the Bernie Mac show then. I think that's a funny, very underrated show.
You know what's funny? It was okay, but I want Bernie Mac unfiltered in front of a crowd. Mm-hmm. He could say whatever he wants. It's going to be on HBO. It's almost the same thing when you see certain actors or comedians. When they get on a podcast, they're able to do things that they're not able to do on The Tonight Show, right? So, like, I think there's that rawness to it that I loved about Bernie Mac, or at least I loved in that specific comedy. But, Jess, give me another one.
So I'm going to give you one that I just thought of. I was going to say George Lopez next, but, I kind of talked to him already about before. But one that just literally, as you were saying, Jesse, go. Jeff Dunham. Do you know who Jeff Dunham is?
I think I do. Let me just see. Let me just look up. I just want to see his face. Oh, yeah. I know
Jeff. I'm pretty sure. Yep. His puppets make me die every time from the first time I saw it to this most latest stand-up. Yeah, I don't think he's released one in a while, but his stuff would have me die. His, you know,
so he would be on. Like, he used to be on Letterman, right? Letterman did some comedy shows.
Oh, he did all of them. He had a mm-hmm. he has comedy show, Comedy Central specials. I believe he has a Netflix special as well. And you know, it's all his. Yeah, multiple. There you go. He's just funny, and it's I love the fact that you know you're watching this guy who is puppets. One, super good. Two, mm-hmm. it's like you're getting different characters, different acts throughout the whole show. So it's like it's not the same thing. It's always something different because all of the puppets that he has are different characters, and he, you know, like puts himself in that character so good, and it's so different from, you know, puppet to puppet. Yeah. And even when he gets to the Jose Jalapeno on a stick, oh.
You know what we need. You know what we need right now, and this is actually a lot of. Listen, we're in a time where everything is just off. But comedy and comics right now, how gold are they? Conan is still doing his show at night. You know, and predominantly, I just watch a lot of this stuff on YouTube. But some of these comedians that don't have a studio audience anymore, we're accustomed to all that. Who cares? Just give me some comic or. These are classic comedians that you're talking about that, you know, we can go back and look at them. Jessica or Curtis, give me another one.
Another one. He doesn't do stand-up as much anymore, but he was really big for a while. Do you ever hear of Bo Burnham?
Bo Burnham! Oh, man.
He's funny because he has a whole performance with it because he plays instruments. He's got some of the jokes go way over.
No, I don't
head,
know.
But it's got some folksy music.
Bo
he's
is
very creative.
Funny. My friend knows, my friend showed me Bo, yeah. I have one of his songs on my phone. It's called I'm Bo, Yo, or as I'm Bo. Yeah, he's super talented. He performs on stage. The last special that I saw with him on, he was playing the piano and telling jokes the whole time. And he can play, like, he's very gifted at musical instruments, and he incorporates his comedy that's very, like, dry and bland and but you just die because it's his timing that's and his like facial expressions and the way, you know, he incorporates music into it. It's fantastic. Maybe we'll come back with the Bo song the next break.
You know, when you say that, when you say like what's his name, Sebastian Manikowski, what's his name, you know, the guy right now that's big, you guys know what I'm talking about.
I thought Janikowski was like, no, that's not a comedian.
By the way, for a second there I almost said Sebastian Manikowski, whatever his name is. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Look him up real quick. See if you guys know what I'm talking about. But he just got big. He got big over the like last year or so, where he got really, really big, and now he's in some movies. Listen, he's not Chris Rock. He's not Dave Chappelle. He's not like those icons. But this guy uses every, like in his stand-ups, every movement he has. There's a meaning behind it, right? Like if he's telling a story about going to Chipotle and the lady in front of you at Chipotle, how long she takes and how they're trying to talk over the glass, every single move that he makes is calculated. That is, you know, sometimes comedians just kind of stand in a mic and they're just kind of reading the room and they just go with the flow. This dude, I mean, I don't know how much of it is scripted. I know a lot of the times it is, but every step he takes, every facial expression he has, every time he uses his finger to point in a direction, everything is calculated. It's a incredibly, incredibly talented way to do it, and he's funny as hell. He's an Italian. He's just hilarious. All right, Jess, give me another one.
So Sebastian Maniscalco. Is that who you're talking about?
Maniscalco. Yeah, something like that. Does he look familiar?
He does. Okay. I'm pretty sure I've heard him on Joe Rogan before.
Yeah, I think – you know what? I'm not sure if he's been on Rogan. By the way, Rogan has definitely introduced me to a lot more comedians. And his podcast is just stupid. I mean, Rogan is just incredible how good his show is. But you're right. That's actually a good point. All the comedians that I know now is because of listening to Rogan.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I know more comedians now by their podcast more than I do their stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
So another one for me, I will say I'm torn between two, but I'm gonna say Joe Coy just because I go back further with Joe Coy. His stand up is funny. His, you know, from his early stuff where he mimics his son. And I a couple weeks ago, I saw his latest one. Yeah, his latest one was really good too. I love it because he calls Filipinos the Asian Mexicans. And I went to a I went to a school that was heavy in Filipino, and it all makes sense now. It all makes sense why Filipinos and Mexicans get along. And ever since that special, I'm like, I get it. I see you. You my people.
I put him on YouTube, so I'm gonna have. I'll watch later. I'll have to watch that later. Give me one more, Curtis.
I haven't listened to his newest stuff, but someone that's active now that I started listening to a long time before he got really big, Chris D'Elia. Chris D'Elia is like a superstar now, but I used to listen to on a podcast him and Brian Callen, who is on Rogan's show a lot, but. His old stuff's great. His and his Eminem impression is pretty good. If you ever hear his Eminem impression,
I always laugh at that name. Only for the simple fact that my friend actually got blocked by him on Twitter.
Yeah, he does that.
He called him out. It was funny.
All right, my favorite man. I'll always go back to Dave Chappelle. I love Chappelle. I mean, just iconic. Chappelle is iconic. I think I mentioned this to you guys. So a couple years ago, I was in Colorado, and a couple of us, you know, a couple of close buddies of mine that we knew each other, some of us in high school, but predominantly in college. One of my buddies bought four tickets to that Red Rock Amphitheater in Colorado. Ooh,
what a place to watch that.
Bro, and it was the Chappelle show. And it was not the Chappelle show, it was the Chappelle comedy. So it was just fantastic. I mean, listen, Chris Rock is amazing. Jerry Seinfeld's amazing. Eddie Murphy. Robin Williams. I mean, there's so many great, but that's my favorite is Dave Chappelle.
You can't go wrong with Chappelle. You really can't.
All right, Jess, what do you got over there?
So I got a game for us, but before we get, so the numbers for the Last Dance documentary came out. The documentary averaged 6.1 million viewers for one and two. Mm-hmm. 3.5 out of that 6.1 was in the 18 to 49 age demographic. So I know you watched it, Alan, because I saw your sweet beard on Periscope and Twitter afterwards.
Yeah, it's a quarantine.
I watched it. I thought it was fantastic.
Quarantine beard right now.
I feel you. I haven't cut my hair or shaved or anything. My face is a mess. Curtis, you have a chance to watch The Last Dance? Yeah.
Is that a yes, Curtis?
Yeah.
Okay, Curtis is
it. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't
Curtis
know if I cut it. Myself off or not.
You cut yourself off, 100%.
Yeah, I did.
100% you did.
You did. All right. So, again, you know, we were part of that 6.1 viewership, and it's the most watched original content broadcast on ESPN since 2004, which was the premiere of You Don't Know Bo. So
wow.
It's been 16 years. Yeah,
You Don't Know Bo got one. That many million views, huh? Jesus, okay.
Well, this is the thing. That You Don't Know Bo got 3.6. The Last Gas got it almost doubled the viewership.
Got it.
And that's
got
just,
it.
You know, the first episode. So, you know, the continuation.
Oh, it's going to grow.
Three and four are going to be on Sunday. You know,
Jess,
we both are going to
watch.
Let
me tell you why it's going to grow. It's going to grow because this is what we talked about all day Monday. I spent a lot of time yesterday talking about Lakers talk, right? On Friday, even though the NFL draft's going on, you know Kirk and I are going to be basically saying, man, how great a season or episode 3 and 4 is going to be. That's going to go on for the next month. So this storyline will grow. And anybody who missed it, you know, ESPN's replaying it and so forth. So that the storyline's definitely going to grow. So I think those numbers are going to grow too.
Definitely. So that's what we got looking forward to you. But now we got looking forward to right now is a game. So It's going to be you versus Curtis, Allen. It's the first of three wins. I have here the top five most televised TV events of all time. The first of three wins. I want you to get five. I'll give you guys a hint. Two out of the five are Super Bowl games. So just let me know what Super Bowl, if you want to guess Super Bowl, which Super Bowl game it was.
Okay, wait. So this is the most televised events ever?
Or the most watched televised events.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Ever.
And two of them are the Super Bowl.
All right. Two of them are Super Bowl games.
Damn.
But the other three are not Super Bowl games. I thought, honestly, okay. I thought the top five would be all Super Bowls. I was really surprised it was only two. So, Alan, I'll give you first. What do you think? What's your first guess?
So, my first guess has to be... So, I got to think of which Super Bowl most televised... Okay, I'm going to actually... I'll do this. I'll go... I'll go an event. How about the O.J. Simpson trial?
O.J. Simpson trial. Number one with 142 million viewers. 142.
So what year was that, by the way?
1995.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Curtis.
Curtis, what's your guess?
I'm trying to think. I'm going to try and pick out the Super Bowl because there's a couple memorable ones. What about the – I remember this because I was younger, but what about when the Patriots got beat by the Giants? I don't remember the number of it, if that matters.
Which time, though?
The one where the Giants
first
beat
one
the
or
Patriots.
The second one?
They
beat them twice.
The helmet catch.
They got them twice.
The helmet catch one.
So the first one, yeah. The one that knocked the Patriots out of the undefeated record. Yeah. Well, Curtis, you're right. That is number five with 111.3 million views.
I don't even remember the other
and
one.
And it's actually. Also, it was just as good of a game. Also, that Super Bowl, 13.7 million tweets were sent out between the hours of 3 and 8, which is the Jesus. Most tweets sent during any sporting event. Crazy. All right, Alan, it's to you.
By the way, that event has been on a couple times. Those Super Bowls have been on. You know, NFL Network are playing all this stuff. That's a fantastic one too. Okay, so I'm just thinking of iconic moments here. So the OJ thing, and then I'll think of the landing of the moon, the landing on the moon.
So. The landing on the moon. Alan, good thing. That is number two on the list with 125 million views.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, Curtis, if you got the next two, impossible. I'm going to know the next two. So that's what I got. That's all I bring to the table here.
Oh, that's what I was thinking.
Well, let's see.
But you got me.
Yeah, we'll see if you guys can get the one of the last two. We'll see which one of these you guys get the last two.
Curtis, what do you got? What do you got Curtis, as the next one?
I remember it was a big deal when it happened. My dad loved the show. Remember when MASH ended?
That's a good guess. That's a very good guess.
That's a good guess. That's a good guess. But however, I know it's same. It did get over 100 million views, but it's not in the top five. It is actually number nine with 105.9 million views. 105.9, but it's number nine. So Curtis. No go. Alan, if you can guess the next one, you will win the game, and it will be your first time winning the game on the show.
I would be the second, Jess, but you know, what are you going to do? Maybe Jess wasn't paying attention. You can't win them all. You know what I mean, Curtis? Can't win them all. Okay, so I'm gonna guess the Super Bowl, and I'll try and guess something a little bit more recent. I'm looking up here just Super Bowls, just matchups, because I'm trying to see franchises that, you know, I know are big franchises. Here's one that sticks out. So 2011, just because it was the Packers and it was the Steelers, humongous fan bases, I'm going to go with that as the other Super Bowl.
Alan, you were just a bit outside. That Super Bowl was actually number six with 111 million viewers.
Yeah, this is
so
all you, Curtis.
Just outside.
Curtis, impossible. I'm going to guess that next Super Bowl.
I don't know either. There's a couple iconic. I want to try and do the Super Bowl, too.
That's the only thing I could come with is thinking of a Super Bowl.
What about the Broncos-Seattle one? That was a big matchup.
The Broncos-Seattle one. Curtis! Coming back, it is now tied. Oh, that really? Is number four.
There we go.
111.5 million views.
All right, Curtis, you got to be honest with me here. guessing Broncos Seattle. Did you look this up? Come on, bro.
No,
this is
I
be
remember.
Real.
Being,
just be real.
I remember being a bandwagon Seattle fan and taping over my T-shirt.
Gross.
That's awesome.
My dad was a Broncos fan, and no matter who played them, I rooted against them. So that's I just remember that game vividly.
I'm not going to know the last one. Curtis, do you have it?
No, I don't
know. Do you know what it is?
The only other thing I had was the other Super Bowl was, but there's no.
All right. This is what I'm going to do. We're going to try to do an improv two last second. Since you guys are both tied in this, you guys need one more.
Okay.
I'm going to give you guys one clue. Alan, you're going to have a heads up. I'll give you the year. It happened in 1991. And it has to do with a war.
Okay, it's the Gulf War then.
Which, Alan, you are correct.
I mean, you basically had to write it in for me. Because if you didn't say that, I wouldn't have any. I honestly wouldn't have any idea.
And I was one.
Well, there was a reason why I said war. I knew if I just said the date.
1991.
I was like, I have to throw war in there.
1991. I don't know how I would have done. Okay, Curtis, what do you got over there?
Real quick, I saw
Curtis. By the way, Curtis set up some of the best. Curtis is always just a quick one here. Just got one quick one, and we're out. What do you got?
Yeah,
what do you
have? Well, I know I'm aware of things, you know. So I saw Hotmail trending, and I thought, oh no, did it get hacked or something?
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, there was a big argument over Twitter over it. People think, you know, the people very divided over it. There was a big group of people like, oh, I love it. It's the OG email. And the others are like, you're weird if you have it.
Mm-hmm.
I was interested because I still have a Hotmail email. It's not great, but I still have one. And then I just kind of remember all the other email providers when we were younger. Do you have any weird, do you remember any of your weird, like, email names that you had when you were a kid? Like, your first ones or whatever it was?
So I definitely had Hotmail. Okay. And Hotmail back in the days, man, I swear every time I logged on to Hotmail, I'm like, it's hacked again. You know, I felt like every time with Hotmail.
Well, yeah, somebody, when I saw it, that's what I thought was happening when it was trending. It was like, well,
somebody's on there with me. Like, I always felt like it was. Bro, you know what? One of the passwords I used to always have, I think I mentioned this to you guys. Growing up, I loved Eddie Jones. So I think literally my password was like Eddie Jones and something, like, you know, his number or something along those lines. But it was always Eddie Jones. You know what I mean? And that happens so often. Like, think about how often that happens where you just have a player that you like or a team that you like, and that's your password, or it's your birthday. You know, like, it's always going to be associated to one of those things. How about you, Jess?
I definitely do. I actually never had a Hotmail. I'm did have an SBC.global.
Oh, there you go.
Or SBCglobal.com or whatever. And, oh, my God, I'm such a – .net, whatever it was. I remember my name. I was such, you know, this is how big of a wrestling fan I was. My screen name was Jess, you know, my name, J-E-S-S, F5, as in Brock Lesnar's finisher, 619, because I was very mysterious. I was one of my favorite wrestlers, and so was Brock at the time. Booyaka 619. And everyone kept reading it as
wrestling.
Jeff. Everyone kept reading it as, like, Jeff 5. Yeah, I remember. I don't shy away from that. I'm a big mark. I'll admit it.
Well, listen, that's not like the most uncommon thing.
Oh no!
By the way, back in the days, I mean, when I was growing up, bro. I mean, come on, Ultimate Warrior, Hulk Hogan. I always joke around with you guys. I say Razor Ramon was my favorite when he used to flick his toothpick. Like Bret the Hitman Hart. I mean, these guys are classics, like absolute classics. Just today, I can't relate to it. One of my cousins, who I'm, you know, very close with. He watches religiously with his son, you know? So, like, there is something with that connection with wrestling. And a lot of it comes from your childhood, but it also is your kids. So, there's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, definitely. I don't hide that or shy away from that fact at all.
All right, fellas. Good stuff. We got Brett Dawson, The Athletic. So, I mentioned this fan survey that went down, Lakers fan survey. It reveals a lot of different things. Let me just say this to kind of set it up. Of course, what it reveals is you know, it's a younger generation that's online right now. It's a younger generation that is voting. It's a younger generation that's on The Athletic or that's listening on the podcast or whatever the case is, right? So I think some of this stuff will be skewed, but we'll get into this with Brett Dawson. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride, from the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers always there for you rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with GEICO on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Welcome back to the Sliwa Show. Brett Dawson from The Athletic, nice enough to join the Sliwa Show. Brett, how are you doing?
Doing great. I think like everybody else, a little bit bored, but glad to not be ill. So that's for the best.
You know, it's kind of interesting. Like I think every day, I personally try to find some different to do, and definitely because I have the show in the evenings, I spend a lot of the day just trying to find some unique stories or who to go interview, and you've always been nice enough to join the show. But yeah, it is kind of interesting. It's like, you know, I'm trying to think here, can I do this for another 30 days, you know, another 60 days? I have no idea, but if it's what we have to do, we'll do it. But it is kind of interesting. You don't look too far down the road.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, it's tough to, you know, you're sort of in a weird place when you cover the NBA like we do, and you talk about it and you write about it, because you're in a situation where the games aren't happening, but it's also not the off season. So it's kind of weird. It's like, how much do you look back? How much do you look forward? There's still the possibility that they're going to play some more games. And so do you move into like more of an off season mode, or are you kind of on hold to do that until you figure out what happens? And so, I mean, like with everything, literally everything about this, the first time for all of us, and we're all kind of trying to figure it out as we go.
Well, you guys have done, I think The Athletic has done a great job of just coming up with storylines, you know, articles, unique angles. We're trying to do, you know, the best we can too at 710 ESPN. But you and Bill Oren had something that came out yesterday, and I wanted to save it because instead of me going through the whole thing, I was looking forward to trying to bring you on. So Lakers fan survey reveals lots of Shaq and Kobe love and hope for a third star. So first off, how do you guys put together the survey? Just kind of give us the background on that before we start getting into all the questions.
Yeah, so this is something, one of the things we did very early on at The Athletic, just on our Slack channel that everybody's on. All the NBA writers have one. There's one that has everybody, the whole company. There's other subsets. One of the things we try to do is just like, let's start thinking right away about story ideas and prepare for this to be a very long process where we don't have games. And we kind of called the Slack channel, Let's Get Weird. And the idea was, let's just come up with things that aren't relying on games. And they also aren't relying on talking to people, because we just don't know how accessible anybody's going to be at this point in time. So one of the things that came up was fan surveys. And we've done those in a lot of markets, and we will do them in more. In terms of just coming up with, you know, the process of coming up with our actual poll, that was as simple as, you know, Bill Oren and I set up a Google Doc. We got on the phone, talked a little bit, went back and forth via text, and just sort of built out a number of questions. They gave us kind of a ballpark. Bill and I, as is kind of our is characteristic of us, we went a little longer than they told us to go. We had a few more questions than they asked for, but that was okay. We wanted to cover a lot of ground. And so it was just, you know, kind of a back and forth between the two of us. What are some things, not that we want to talk about, but what are some things we think might interest fans, might get them to vote, and might spark some discussion for them?
Okay, so Brett Dawson, by the way, The Athletic, joining the Sliwa Show. What is there a question that you put out there, that you guys put out there, I guess you could say you were surprised by the response? Is there one or two that really stick out to you?
In terms of surprise, I was a little bit surprised, you know, not so much by answers, but by margins. You know, for example,
okay,
I think some of this speaks to our audience, you know, that we have a little bit younger audience. But the fact that Shaq and Kobe, for example, we asked your favorite Laker duo, the fact that they were more than half the vote, that they so overwhelmingly drew more votes than say, Magic and Kareem, which was the second place group. And then, you know, Magic and Kareem had a much smaller margin over Kobe and Pau Gasol. So, you know, I think there was a lot. Obviously, this has been a year of Kobe Bryant. So in addition to the fact that Kobe's been on everybody's minds, he's also probably more the guy. I mean, in terms of our vote for greatest Laker of all time, he won that by a very comfortable margin over Magic. So I think it speaks to the year and the moment that we're in. It speaks to our audience a little bit. And so maybe it shouldn't have been surprising, but I was surprised a little bit by how thoroughly he kind of ran away with those votes.
Well, that's the one that stuck out to me. So the one that stuck out to me was the
your all-time favorite duo. So 53% and some change are Kobe and Shaq, and then 22% is Magic and Kareem. And instantly for me, which, by the way, you know, my era was more Shaq and Kobe, so I'm not disagreeing with that. That was my favorite duo. But the reality is, you know, there's an incredible amount of diehard Laker fans that, you know, when I put out this question, I'll do it a little bit later in the show, what was your favorite Lakers duo? Of course, there's going to be a ton of Laker fans that their generation was the Showtime era, and they're going to say, wait, Magic Kareem, you know, arguably the greatest duo of all time. They won 5 championships with the Lakers. What are you talking about? But I do feel there's something about who do you have that's on The Athletic, or who do you have? I put up on Twitter maybe a week ago, maybe 2 weeks, I can't remember, greatest Laker of all time. I had 70%+ was Kobe.
Yeah.
70%+. So I think there is this generational thing where you just have a younger age group that's on The Athletic, that's on Twitter, that's on Instagram, that's on social, and primarily that older group. I don't know. You think they're being less surveyed? Is that a fair way to put it?
I think it's probably true that they're a little less likely to be engaged in surveys like this. I think in terms of, you know, we don't have those demographics, but we know that in general, you know, our subscriber base is probably a little bit younger. They're more along the lines of people who are going to be more Kobe Bryant fans. I mean, when you look at Magic was much closer in terms of greatest Laker, though. I mean, Kobe still had a comfortable lead, but Magic took up more of the second place vote than in the duo question, for example. So like Magic and Kareem got 22%. But Magic by himself got 35% of the vote in terms of greatest Laker. And when you consider, you know, this is a few hundred voters, when you consider the age group, that's pretty good. That speaks to, I think, how much appreciation even a younger audience has for Magic. He's just not quite Kobe in their eyes, which makes a lot of sense.
So there, as I kind of look down, I want to go, there's one that stood out to me as well. I thought this was a great question. And I felt like I would already have my opinion on it, but if you could have kept one player from the Lakers' young core, who would it have been? And the responses there were D'Angelo Russell, Julius Randle, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, and Kyle Kuzma. Were you surprised 50%+ were going for B.I.?
A little bit. I honestly thought we might get a little bit closer split with Kuzma, because I think in some ways the tendency for a fan is to say, I like what we ended up doing. You know, sure. I think that happens sometimes where they sort of tend to say, okay, well, we ended up with Anthony Davis and we've got LeBron James, so I'm perfectly happy with the guy that we kept. But that was not the case. I mean, Brandon Ingram got more than half the vote, and then behind him, and significantly behind him, but ahead of Kuzma, was Lonzo Ball. And so I'm not surprised, because I think, you know, when Bill and I posed this question, this was one of the ones we thought might spark some interest and might spark some back and forth. But we both, I think, you know, we went over these last week, just the two of us, and both of us also picked Ingram. And I think the nature of that is just the year that he had. I think there would always be some questions. There will always be questions about whether Brandon Ingram was going to be a great fit alongside LeBron, because if you look at the things he's being allowed to do in New Orleans now, some of those things are going to be harder with the way LeBron has the ball in his hands from a similar kind of big wing type position. He's more of the point guard. But I think that question raises itself all the time with Brandon, but because of the year he had, I'm not surprised. And the way he shot the ball in particular, so the things he could do without the ball, I'm not surprised.
Brett Dawson from The Athletic. So Lakers fan survey reveals lots of Shaq and Kobe love and hope for a third star. It's a great survey. I mean, I think there's a lot of Laker fans out there that would just be curious to see some of the responses. And I think the questions are really good. So what are Laker fans, how did they feel from a front office perspective, specifically Pelinka, Genie, just what have they thought about how they've done this season, or even say the last, or this season compared to last year?
Yeah, that was the way we wanted to frame that question, because obviously the team has been really good this year. And so if you just asked, I think, how do you feel about Rob Pelinka? How do you feel about the Buss family ownership? That leads itself to getting really positive responses, and that's fine. But what we really wanted to know is, compared to where you were a year ago, you know, kind of like a political question, are you better off? And I think what we saw, and I don't think this is totally surprising, but it was interesting to see the difference. A much higher percentage of people said they were more confident in Rob Pelinka this year than last year. That makes a lot of sense considering the state of things last year. The ownership thing was about the same, which is interesting. The more confident and about the same, pretty closely split, as opposed to where, with Pelinka, there was much greater. There were many more people said more confident. Very comparable in terms of the ownership. I think that speaks a little bit to I think some faith that people have in ownership. The fact that 45% of people said they'd feel about the same, after a season when they have the best record in the West compared to a season where they missed the playoffs. I think that speaks to the fact that the Laker fans largely felt pretty good about this ownership group even before. They felt very good about Jeannie Buss even before this season. So their opinion doesn't change as dramatically as it did with Pelinka. I think because of the drama with Magic Johnson's exit, because of the long-term inability to get that Anthony Davis trade done, because there was a firing of Luke Walton and then some difficulty finding another coach, I think there was some period of time there where you certainly could have been on the fence about Rob Pelinka. And I think from, May on, I can see where that opinion would have greatly improved.
Yeah, the Pelinka part, I think, I always find the Pelinka part interesting because, listen, you walked into this offseason when Magic stepped down the final game. This was almost identical to a year ago, you could say, right, against the Portland Trailblazers, that final game, that regular season game. I mean, everything just seemed like it was in disarray. You didn't have a coach. Eventually, they moved on from Luke, and they were trying to figure out all this stuff, and you're trying to figure out, okay, who's running things with the front office. And the way that it seemed like it was all disjointed a year ago to where it is today, that's not the perception. You know what I mean? Like that is a incredible change in just 12 months, but this is really the first 12 months that Pelinka's got a chance to really kind of do things his way, I guess you can say. There is no Magic that he's got to check into. Of course, he still has to make sure and get the blessing from Jeannie Buss, but I feel like that job has been, he's definitely done an amazing job, at least in the first 12 months. Now, that doesn't mean there isn't so many big decisions for the future, but we can't even talk basketball because there's no basketball right now. I want to finish this off with this final one here. So I thought this was kind of a fun question that you guys put out there, and I'll let you talk about who Laker fans think most. So which superstar currently on another team do you think is most likely to become a Laker in the future? I'll list out the names, and then maybe you could give out the percentages there. So Ben Simmons, Donovan Mitchell, Bradley Beal, Luka Doncic, Kawhi Leonard, James Harden, Damian Lillard, and Giannis Antetokounmpo. What did Laker fans think?
Overwhelmingly, and probably not surprisingly, Giannis Antetokounmpo was number one. He got 54.8% of the votes among people who voted. Damian Lillard, I was more interested that Lillard was second in a lot of ways than I was that Antetokounmpo was first. Because I think given the Lakers situation, they don't have a lot of assets to swing a big trade. If they're going to acquire the next big superstar from somewhere else, it's probably going to be in free agency. And Giannis, of course, hits free agency in 2021. So I think all the circumstances kind of line up for Giannis to be the choice there, the logical choice. That's not to say it would happen, but the logical choice for most likely. We tried to include kind of a range. He obviously is somebody we knew would come up. Lillard, Portland will eventually have to make some decisions, and so his name comes up a lot. James Harden, because of his Los Angeles ties and because you just don't know what the future of Houston is going to look like. Will they continue to be a contender? Does there come a time when he wants to move on somewhere else? All these guys to try to, we put in a range of people just to kind of try to get some, varied responses. But I'm not surprised. Giannis is a guy who, because the free agency is upcoming, because he plays in a small market, it has the hallmark of one of those guys that the Lakers tend to target and ultimately, have a chance to acquire.
Good stuff, Brett. They're great questions, and I'm sure Laker fans, when I go through this and as I kind of continue to talk about it throughout the show, they'll have their opinion. They'll definitely have their take, but I think it's great to take surveys like this because the wide array of questions at a time like this, it's not about what do the Lakers got to do to beat Memphis in game two of the playoffs. It's kind of looking at things from a little bit more big picture perspective. So great stuff. Thank you for doing this, and I appreciate you taking some time and joining the show.
Thanks, Alan. Appreciate it. Anytime.
All right, so I want to hit on a couple more things on the Laker front. By the way, do you know the Clipper fans did a survey as well? So Clippers have a survey as well. The Clippers' all-time favorite player. Do you have any idea who it is?
not on the team anymore, by the way. And then there was a question for the Clippers. Should the team consider a logo jersey color scheme reband before the proposed 2024 move to the new arena? So I want to give some answers on that. Draymond Green had some thoughts on Kevin Durant, so we'll do all that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. So it's interesting when you see some of these surveys. By the way, just kind of, you know, I know Brett Dawson broke it all down, but Ingram, no question about it, is the player you would have liked to keep. I don't want to hear any conversations about any of the other players. No disrespect to them, but Brandon Ingram, that's a no-brainer right there. Superstar most likely to become a Laker in the future. The only one that I could think of that I think is really realistic is Bradley Beal. Like, that's a player that is on a bad team, and it's in the Eastern Conference. Where I feel like, I don't know, I could see Giannis staying in Milwaukee for a long time. We'll see what happens with some of these other players. But the other thing that I was happy to see on that list was Rob Pelinka getting the credit that he deserves. Listen, I mean, a year ago, right now, this time of the year last year, everybody was all over the Lakers franchise. And you had a right to be. Magic steps down. Last game of the year against the Portland Trailblazers. Nobody has any direction of where they think the franchise is going, who's running things. In 12 months, what Pelinka, I would say, has accomplished is one of the most impressive jobs out there. And by the way, listen, I if there's one thing I like doing from a Laker perspective, I'll tell it how it is. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. You give credit where it's due, and there's and you criticize where you also feel like it's necessary. That's part of the job. Pelinka, I feel like in those 12 months, if all the paperwork was everywhere, now you feel like the paperwork is all perfectly aligned, everything's sitting on the desk the right way. I mean, he's done an incredible job. Now, really at the end of the day, you got to win an NBA championship if you're general manager, president of basketball operations for the Lakers to get your true credit. That's going to be the challenge moving forward. And this, everything that's happened this year and now with the season being canceled or being postponed, there's incredible challenges for the Lakers moving forward. So this is going to be just another juggling act for Rob Pelinka, but he deserves credit for what he's done over the last 12 months. And I'm glad Laker fans appreciate what he's done. Okay, so the Clippers did Clipper fans did a survey as well. Clippers all-time favorite player. So during the break, I'm joking around with Jess and Curtis, and I said it's Michael Olowokandi. Now we got youngsters here. We got youngsters on the in the rotation right here. So how old are you, Jess? You said 28. Are both you guys 28? No, thank you guys. Thank you for joining. 27. Okay.
I'm 28. Yeah.
Okay, 28. Okay. So when I said Michael Olowokandi, both of you guys were like, what are you talking about? You know, like, you guys didn't really have, you maybe question. Have heard of the name, right? You maybe.
I thought you were talking about a candy.
this guy said, I said, bless you. Okay. So when I said that, I said, look him up, right? Jess, they picked him number one in the draft. I forgot the year. You said 1998. Why don't you list off some of the players they passed up for Michael Olowokandi? Who are some of the players that they passed up?
So, yeah, it was the 1998 draft. They had the number one overall selection. And just within the top 10, after Olowokandi,
mm-hmm.
Mike Bibby, Antoine Jameson, Vince Carter, Paul Pierce, and a foreign player. His name is, what is it here? Dirk Nowitzki.
Yeah, just Dirk Nowitzki, just Vince Carter. Like you mentioned, some of the other players like Mike Bibby, who we saw against the Lakers, that Mike Bibby would go back and forth with the Lakers back in those days where the Lakers would play the Kings. So this is the Clippers that, you know, we've known, that we've grown accustomed to. Now, listen, I'll also say this. Talk about giving credit where credit's due. Bombers coming in and making moves. But in this Clippers survey, the fans did a survey. Clippers all-time favorite player. Number one in the vote, Blake Griffin at 38%. Initially, when I first heard that, I was like, oh my gosh, that's a surprise. But I think the more I thought about it. By the way, Jovan Buha from The Athletic, he's the one that put this thing together. So this was one thing that The Athletic did last week. Jesse sent me something that one of the folks from The Athletic did for the Dodgers.
The Dodgers.
Lakers, it was yesterday. I think Clippers did one today, so Jovan did it for the Clippers. So 38% of the vote going to Blake Griffin. So this is why it's not as big of a surprise as I initially thought. That's their guy. You know, if you're a Clippers fan, this is a guy that you drafted. The best years that you've ever had in your franchise's history. Now, granted, it just gets you to the second round. It's with Blake Griffin. All those highlights from Blake Griffin, so I get it. I'm not too shocked, and I'm not too surprised on that front that that's Blake Griffin. Here's the other question. Should the team consider a logo jersey color scheme rebrand before the proposed 2024 move to a new arena? So that's one of the questions. Let me just say this. Let me say that Bomber's making moves. I said it, when he bought the Forum, I was giving credit like, damn, this guy was in litigation trying to get that new stadium. Why don't I just buy the person that owns the Forum that's giving me a headache? Here's $400 million cash, okay? He's making moves. He's going to continue to make moves. They're going to eventually get their own arena in 2024 in Inglewood. Now, I have always said this, and most other people have. They should go to a different city, but that ain't happening. He's just going to continue to kind of plant his roots here. So should they consider a new logo, a new jersey, a new color scheme, a new rebrand? 200% they should do it. And I don't know why they would have to wait till 2024. The Clippers are always kind of have this – they continue to have this stigma behind them that they're one of the worst franchises in sports history, because they have been, and they definitely were under Donald Sterling, that they're a loser franchise, that those logo and everything's been outdated with the Clippers. So even before you get into 2024 and you're Steve Ballmer and, you know, money, of course, is definitely not an issue – you can do whatever the hell you want. He's the richest owner in professional sports, by the way. So I don't know why they would wait till 2024 to do that. But if that's the question, of course that's what they should do, because the perception of the Clippers has never been a good perception. And you can win, and that's something that they're trying to accomplish, and they definitely have good enough players to win now. I mean, how crazy is that? We're talking about the Lakers and the Clippers and the Western Conference Finals, and those are the two teams that are supposed to collide against each other. That's been the conversation, all this season. That probably is not going to change for a while, because you got an owner that can make moves. So I think they should do that. Okay, tomorrow morning. Actually, real quick, let me squeeze this in. During these challenging times, 710 ESPN is here for you. We'd like to spread the word and promote any local businesses who are hiring and looking for a workforce right now. Email us at ESPNLA, marketing@ESPN.com, and let us know if your local business is hiring and how they can apply. We'll help spread the word. So we always want to get the word out. Tomorrow, starting at 6 a.m., Keyshawn, Travis, and LZ. The Sliwa Show is back as well. At 6 o'clock, I'll do crosstalk like I always do with Mason and Ireland. We got some Better Call Saul trivia that I got from Mason and Ireland. Thank you to everybody that tuned in. We'll see you guys tomorrow. LA, have a great rest of your night.